Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.podomatic.com. Hello, you're listening to another episode of Luke's English Podcast, and in this episode I'm joined again by my brother on my left, hello.
Hello.
And a friend of ours, both of ours, Aaron on my right.
Hi there.
Do you normally speak with such a high-pitched voice?
Was that particularly high-pitched?
I don't know, don't you think, James? That he was like, hi there, a bit high-pitched.
Shall I try again?
Yeah, okay.
Hi there.
That's it. It's more manly. It's more commanding.
Thank you.
On the podcast. So we're just sitting here in Aaron's flat in Stockwell in South London on a nice sunny day. We probably should be outside enjoying the nice weather, but we're not. We're inside recording a podcast.
Yay!
Because that's just how much we think that it's important to do this. We're willing to sacrifice vitamin D for somehow making the world just a better place to live in. That's the philosophy behind Luke's English Podcast.
Hear, hear.
Yeah, hear, hear. Which is another way of agreeing. It's a way of agreeing. You can say hear, hear.
You could say it's a way of agreeing with gusto.
Really? Hear, hear. Like I fully agree with what you've just said. Okay, so now we know you, James, because we've met you on the podcast before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. For some reason, the listeners seem to like listening to you. No, you've got no comeback from that? Okay, fine. But this is the first time that you've been featured on this award-winning podcast.
Award-winning?
Yeah, it's award-winning.
Oh,
now.
Right. He keeps going on about this bloody dictionary.
Of course I'm going to go on about
it. It's a dictionary.
It's not just that. I actually won. I won an Oscar for Best Actor.
Wow.
At Oscars last year.
That's fantastic.
Thanks. I obviously didn't win an Oscar. No, that was just a hilarious joke. So, Aaron.
Yeah. Was that too high pitched?
Yeah.
Sorry,
one of the
Bee Gees just walked in.
That was just one of the Bee Gees. Okay.
Yeah, he's gone there.
Okay. So, Aaron, how do we actually know each other?
Wow. We'd need to go back many a year to Solihull Sixth Form College.
Solihull Sixth Form College.
Which would have been...
We should probably cut in some, like, Wonder Stuff or something now.
Yeah.
Some indie music from that period.
Set a scene, you know, a little rosy tint around, or not rosy tint, like a sepia around the camera lens, if it was being filmed.
So basically,
it's the flashback sequence.
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying. It's a flashback.
It's a montage.
I had hair, you had hair, we had.
So it's a flashback to the 90s, something like 1993.
Doc Martens.
Everyone was wearing Doc Martin boots and kind of
check shirts,
baggy clothes.
I was a Grebo.
You had dreadlocks. That's right. And you had rings in your nose.
I had a few nose rings.
You were the most hardcorest, young sort of word, grungy.
Yeah, I was like a bit of a mess, you know, as a teenager.
I thought you looked quite cool.
I got the girls.
Yeah.
A lot of Tippex on the leather jacket.
These are the days when we used to hang around at college wearing ripped jeans and army boots.
Yeah, para boots with tight black jeans tucked in.
Unwashed, generally, appearance.
Kind of band t-shirts, like Mud Honey t-shirts.
Black t-shirts that have been washed so many times they were grey.
Yeah.
These are the kind of grunge years, I suppose you could call them.
Yeah.
This is when sort of Nirvana was, you know, when Kurt Cobain was still alive.
Yeah, but no one was that into Nirvana.
I was quite into Nirvana.
Well, yeah, I was.
You were massively into Nirvana.
Okay.
I just don't like to admit it because they're popular.
That's not true.
Did you see them live?
Yeah.
I'm saying that it wasn't the only band everyone was into.
No.
Yeah.
Like there was a massive mashup.
But just for the benefit of my listeners who are trying to kind of get a reference for what life was like for us at that time. it was when, for example, people were listening to Nirvana, and you know, it was the kind of grunge era, 1993, although obviously we were listening to other kinds of music as well.
Yeah, I was listening to the Orb a lot.
And, yeah, there was other kinds of music
very,
going on.
Sort of various consciousness-expanding forms of, you know, electronic music.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, just to set the scene. So, this is when we lived in the Midlands near Birmingham. Now, Aaron, you're actually from Birmingham, right?
I am from Birmingham, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Have you got an accent? Have you got a Birmingham accent?
I have a soft accent, I've been told.
Yeah.
It tends to bubble to the surface if I'm either around other people from Birmingham, or Brummies, as we are known, or I'm particularly drunk. And when I slur, I tend to slur in a Brummie accent.
Really?
But I like to think that I, you know, have a nice Birmingham accent as opposed to an abrasive one.
I think you have a nice Birmingham accent, don't you?
I quite like the Birmingham accent.
Yeah. A lot of people don't. A lot of people say...
It gets a lot of stick, doesn't it?
It makes you sound stupid, which in this case is quite apt, but... You do get a lot of intelligent people from Birmingham as well. Let's not forget all the
intelligent.
It's the most put upon accent, though, isn't it? Probably.
A lot of people say the Birmingham accent does make you sound stupid. It's like, I'm from Birmingham, and everyone in Birmingham speaks like this. It's like a stereotype Birmingham accent.
Yeah.
Black Sabbath. They've all got brilliant Birmingham
accents. Ozzy Osbourne.
Well, not just Ozzy, but all of them.
Noddy Holder.
But Black Sabbath.
He's Black Country.
But hold on. We can get into very dangerous territory about the Birmingham accent, because some people say, Black Country isn't Birmingham and so on. But anyway, you've got a Midlands. You're from Chelmsley Wood in the Midlands.
Yes.
Yeah, so. Yeah. With us, maybe here in London, your Birmingham accent isn't as strong. When you go back to Chelmsley Wood, it probably comes out.
Well, I don't go back to Chelmsley Wood, thank God.
Don't you?
I haven't been back there for a very long time. But when I do go back to Birmingham, I stay at my sister's house in Erdington, which is also quite sort of Brummy.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, if you're listening to this and you can't understand anything that Aaron is saying, it could be because of... his Birmingham accent.
Stupid accent. Yeah.
Okay, now, I just want to ask you both a question, first of all, and that's, have you ever lived in another country?
Yes, I have.
So, speak up, we can't hear you.
Lived in New Zealand for 2 years.
Okay, lived in
Wellington.
New Zealand.
In Wellington's, sorry.
Yeah.
Not wearing Wellington's.
Long time to wear Wellington's.
No.
You must have got awful trench foot.
What are you talking about? So you lived in New Zealand for 2 years, fine. Yeah. And what about you, Aaron?
Yeah, I lived in France for 6 months, and I lived in Holland for a year, in the Netherlands for a year. Lovely place.
Okay, did you ever kind of feel like life in those countries was a bit strange? Did you ever feel like these people in this country are weird?
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like
all
that?
All the time.
Can you give us an example of how you felt the Kiwis' life or lifestyle was weird for you?
Well, it wasn't that weird. It felt quite inward looking sometimes, but I suppose this country does as well, but you notice it more when you're away.
Inward.
The kind of Kiwiness of it. Everything over there is sold on the back of it being New Zealandish.
So you mean they're very proud of...
Very patriotic, but that goes as far as, you know, an advert for anything, like a hardware store, you know.
But like, this isn't a hardware store, this is a Kiwi hardware store. You know, like,
from the finest New Zealand land.
These aren't floorboards, these are Kiwi floorboards made from real New Zealand wood.
These are Lord of the Rings floorboards.
Okay.
Well, that's fair enough, but I can't think of a good example. I'll try and think of something.
But there were moments when you were probably thinking, this is odd.
When they all got off the bus, they'd all go, thank you, driver. Thank you, driver. Which was really sweet, and I like that, actually, but you just think, bloody hell, you don't really get that.
So, when they got off the bus, even the
city boys...
They thank the driver.
Thanks, driver. Thank you, driver.
I think that's perfect.
It's lovely.
Fine, polite.
No, it's lovely.
Okay.
I didn't think that was weird, it was just different.
All right,
I quite liked it.
Good, actually, good. But, Aaron, France, the Netherlands, anything weird?
Well, I mean, France was weird anyway, because I was essentially living in a tent for 6 months.
You were living in a tent?
Yeah.
Was it really?
Like, not a little tent, not like a crawling two-man tent. It was like a big living tent with a separate bedroom and a sofa.
Really? On a campsite?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You lived on a French...
Was that France?
Yeah.
Cool, sounds quite good.
Yeah.
Whereabouts in France?
It was, the nearest city was town, was Saint-Jean-de-Mont. The nearest city was Nantes. So okay. It was kind of in between Nantes and La Rochelle in the Vendée.
Okay.
On the Atlantic coast.
Near the
very
Atlantic
pretty
coast.
Place. I was kind of living within walking distance of the beach, which was really nice.
Okay, very nice. And how come you were living in a tent for 6 months?
Oh, that's
a long story. Okay, but let's just say you were living in a tent. What about the French lifestyle? Was there anything that struck you as being a bit odd or strange?
I don't think so, particularly about the French, because we kind of, as English people, we grow up with quite a familiar,
we're quite familiar with French culture,
exactly. Yeah. So we expect to, you know, to go to the supermarché and buy some nice brie and a bit of a baguette for lunch.
Yeah,
you know that's quite normal. So I think it's you adapt to the French lifestyle quite easily because you're quite au fait with it.
Okay.
Holland again has a great deal of similarities to the culture of the British.
Yeah.
Although it's slightly skew-whiff.
Skew-whiff?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, there's a kind of...
some things are slightly different.
Yeah, some things are the same with a slight difference.
Okay.
So, what examples? Well, obviously there's things like coffee shops... where, you know, probably less so nowadays, but I'm going back quite a long time, where, you know, each city in Holland has areas where you can go and smoke cannabis, and that's perfectly fine and not really frowned upon.
Yeah.
One of the things that I found strange when I first moved to Holland was you have these little, vending machines, and rather than selling packets of crisps, or like chocolate bars, you put like what was then guilders, actually not a euros, and you put like a couple of guilders in, and you open this little door, and you get either Frickendale or croquette, and they're like these kind of meat based snacks, like a kind of cheesy sausage thing, or like a kind of weird burger, and you have them with like it's called ketchup, I think. It's basically some kind of weird mayonnaise tomato ketchup hybrid.
Right.
So, which I found really odd, but I actually really... there was something really nice about treating yourself to a Frickendale or croquette.
So I imagine the strange thing for you is that, well, in England, we don't have, like, let's say, fresh food or meat or cheese-based products in a vending machine.
You certainly
they
don't.
They usually cans of Coke or chocolate bars or crisps.
Yeah.
So it's strange to have what felt like fresh food coming out of a machine for you.
Well, I wouldn't call it fresh.
Yeah.
Hot food.
Like hot food, like meat or cheese, coming from a
cheesy
machine.
Cheesy meat, like basically, it was a kind of mixture of both,
of
but
cheese
not
and
entirely
meat.
Unpleasant.
Okay,
and quite good when you're, you know, when you're in a rush and you just need to kind of eat something quickly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I ask you that because I thought that we talk about the experience of how the lifestyle of other cultures when you first encounter it strikes you as being weird, or when you hear about the way other people live you think that's weird, these people are strange. But actually when you look at their lifestyle there is probably a reason for it, and it's not that they're weird, it's just that they're different. Right now I've been thinking about this because I saw a video on the website TED. I don't know if you're aware of TED.
No, I'm not.
It's I think it's a conference in America. And they publish their talks on the internet. And TED, I think, stands for Technology, Education and Design. And so...
Sounds like a front for some evil organisation.
You think so?
Yeah.
It's not evil at all. It's actually really good because they share all their ideas for free and stuff. It's really good.
Their ideas on Scientology.
There's no Scientology involved.
Is there actually a TED?
There's no person called TED. TED.
It's like a giant evil teddy bear.
It's
trying to take over the world.
I reckon that sounds about right.
Like, I don't think...
Mecha TED.
Mecha bear.
Like Akira, the film Akira. Have you seen that?
Yes, I have. Yeah. Okay.
Is there a giant teddy bear?
I don't know if any of my listeners, except for those people in Japan who know about Akira,
Akira!
Will know what my brother's...
Akira!
Ikea is pretty well globally known.
You think so? Yeah. You'd be surprised that how not many people will know about Akira, I think. But anyway, it's a Japanese cartoon.
Manga. Which, you can't call it a cartoon.
Manga, sorry.
It's a manga.
Anime.
It's an anime movie. Yeah.
Alright, well, Ted, anyways, whatever. It's also on YouTube. It's a presentation by a guy called Derek Sievers, or Sievers? Or
I'm not Sievers.
Sure. I think it's
Sievers.
Derek Sievers.
Sievers.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's, I believe he's from the States. He could be from Canada. Right. The title of the presentation is Weird or Just Different. So let's have a look at it, and then we're going to talk about various bits of...
You're not going to have a look. We're going to have a look.
We're going to have a look and listen.
Yeah.
You'll be able to hear this on the podcast, and then we'll talk about it, all right? So here's the video.
Are these worth spreading?
Mm-hmm.
So imagine you're standing on a street anywhere in America, and a Japanese man comes up to you and says, excuse me, what is the name of this block? And you say, I'm sorry, well, this is Oak Street, that's Elm Street, this is 26th, that's 27th. And he says, okay, but what is the name of that block? And you say, well, blocks don't have names. Streets have names. Blocks are just the unnamed spaces in between streets. He leaves a little confused and disappointed. So now imagine you're standing on a street anywhere in Japan. You turn to a person next to you and say, excuse me, what is the name of this street? And they say, oh, well, that's block 17 and this is block 16. And you say, okay, but what is the name of this street? And they say, well, streets don't have names. Blocks have names. Just look at Google Maps here. There's block 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. All of these blocks have names, and the streets are just the unnamed spaces in between the blocks. And you say, okay, then how do you know your home address? I said, well, easy. This is District 8. There's block 17, house number 1. You say, okay, but walking around the neighborhood, I noticed that the house numbers don't go in order. He said, of course they do. They go in the order in which they were built. The first house ever built on a block is house number 1. The second house ever built is house number 2. Third is house number 3. It's easy. It's obvious. So, I love that sometimes we need to go to the opposite side of the world to realize assumptions we didn't even know we had, and realize that the opposite of them may also be true. So, for example, there are doctors in China who believe that it's their job to keep you healthy. So any month you are healthy, you pay them. And when you're sick, you don't have to pay them because they failed at their job. They get rich when you're healthy, not sick. In most music, we think of the one as the downbeat, the beginning of the musical phrase. One, two, three, four. But in West African music, the one is thought of as the end of the phrase, like the period at the end of a sentence. So you can hear it not just in the phrasing, but the way they count off their music. Two, three, four, one. And this map is also accurate. There's a saying that whatever true thing you can say about India, the opposite is also true. So let's never forget, whether at TED or anywhere else, that whatever brilliant ideas you have or hear, that the opposite may also be true. Domo arigato gozaimashita.
All right. So you get the basic idea.
When does the TED turn up?
Are you obsessed with this idea of there being a huge mechanical teddy bear?
He looks like a huge mechanical teddy
bear. You think Derek Sievers looks like a...
Covered in skin.
I think there might be one controlling him from within his brain.
Okay.
A mini one. Controlling his actions and stuff.
That's brilliant. Okay. So the idea is like, is it weird or is it just different, right? So I've got a list of things here which are things
it's
that...
like a test.
No, it's not. It's not a test.
Is it multiple choice?
No, you can relax. There's no right answer. It's one of those things.
Is there a prize?
The wrong answer would be. Well, we'll see. We'll see what you say.
So there is a prize.
I'm answering what he just said.
Oh, sorry.
Keep up. Right. So let's just go through this list that I've come up with, and sort of in a vaguely normal way. Try and discuss whether you think these things are weird or just different.
Okay. Right?
Okay, and so, but which of these things do you consider to be normal or strange? Why do you consider them to be normal or strange?
Yes.
In which countries do they do these things, and why do they do them? All right?
Could you repeat the question?
No, because you...
that was several questions.
Yeah, it was a few different questions, which can all be found on the webpage.
I'm still confused. Oh, do we need a buzzer?
You don't need a buzzer, no. All you need to do is sort of just try and make this work, okay? All right. It's like, honestly, this is like having two kind of teenage schoolboys in the room with me here. Okay, so...
Sir, I need to move.
Shut up. Shut up and do as you're told. So, first thing is kissing or hugging someone when you meet them. So, for example, kissing someone on the cheek or hugging someone when you meet them.
It entirely depends on how attractive they are.
Do you think that's weird? Really?
Depends on how well you know them. No, not necessarily how well you know them, what kind of relationship you have with them.
Okay.
So, for example, I wouldn't necessarily hug you when I meet you. It's not because you're not attractive. But then I would hug my friend Dave when I meet him.
Okay.
It's not... I don't like him any more than you. We just have a hug.
I think that you see each other maybe less than you than me, no?
No, not true.
It's just that you have more of a kind of hug-type relationship than you do with me.
Yeah.
Okay, I feel slightly disappointed.
Do you want a hug?
I don't get the hug when I meet you.
I can't hug you because you're so attractive.
Okay, because you would get excited if you did hug.
That's exactly it.
But generally in England, do you think that it's kind of normal to hug someone when you meet them?
Well, it depends
how drunk you are. Yeah. That's interesting, because you have to use alcohol to get relaxed enough to be able to hug a friend.
I don't have to, but it just generally happens that way.
Okay, so you tend to be more friendly and more maybe sort of more comfortable with physical contact when you've had a few drinks. I think that's probably true about English people.
Yeah, we're quite uptight, generally.
Yeah.
I'm not uptight, but yeah.
We're a bit reserved before we have a drink.
And then we go over the top.
And then when we have a drink, we get, a bit too...
Can I just say, actually, I think it would be nicer if we hugged each other more often. Yeah. Not just you and me, but in general. Well, not necessarily when drunk. We should, like, as we greet each other, it's nice.
I like hugging girls.
To hug.
Of course you do.
Sure. That's for sure.
Any excuse
I quite like hugging sort of smelly men that much.
I do it anyway.
It's part of the job.
I think it's pretty normal to... I mean, it's if you're very close friends with someone, if you haven't seen them for a while, you might give them a hug when you meet them. When you meet a female friend, it's really normal to give them a kiss on the cheek.
It's not really appropriate to hug them, Jim.
Who?
A female friend.
No, I don't really.
Unless they instigate the hug.
Unless it's like...
I think it's normal to kiss a female friend on the cheek, maybe twice.
not twice on the same cheek.
No, but one on both, one on each.
Going.
I just lunge in and see what happens normally.
Just go for it. Yeah, it's the worst that can happen.
You actually try to
get off with every female friend.
You just try to get off with each female friend. That's
it's not true.
Sarcasm.
It is true, I've seen you do.
As a listener, maybe your task while listening to this is to try and decide which things are genuinely true that they're saying and which things are just complete nonsense they're making up on the
spot. Well, I'll give you a clue what June just said was actually true.
It's not true at all.
It's partially true.
It's not. When he meets girls...
There's some truth in there. That's why it's
the partial truth in there is that in the past you have been known to try and kiss girls when the situation hasn't been appropriate. That's the truth.
You do it once, and you're just never allowed to forget about it.
For life. I've done it. I've just not done it in front of my friends.
I'm scared that my listeners aren't following us.
Okay.
Yeah, we have to try and keep it clear. All right?
Okay. We're having a laugh. Sorry.
Yeah, well,
sorry.
Stop having fun, okay? And try
right,
and
let's
focus.
Just draw a line under the whole snogging.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I think in some countries.
We just have
so, sorry, what do you believe about hugging? Is it okay?
Well, it's all I'm saying is that in some places,
it's a bit of a free for all.
Wait a minute. In like Italy, for example, they there's a lot of physical contact when you meet a friend. When you meet a female friend, like you kiss on the cheeks a lot, and whereas in a place like Japan, you definitely wouldn't hug your friend or kiss them on the cheek when you meet them. No, absolutely not.
What would you do?
You would just say hi, and it's much more...
Just stand there awkwardly.
You'd stand there and maybe a little bit of eye contact. You just get the sense that the two friends are
glad. A little bit.
Maybe a little bit of bowing or something, but you just get that sense that the friends are really happy to meet each other. They don't have to give each other a big hug. They don't get really physical. Right. But you just get the sense that you know when they're very glad to meet you.
It's a very interesting example, because...
So the point I'm making is that a Japanese person, when they meet an English person, for example, if you go to hug them, they might feel really uncomfortable. Who's right and who's wrong? Which one is weird and which one is normal?
It depends whether you're in the UK or Japan.
Yeah.
Or somewhere in between. If you're in somewhere in between, so say, I don't know...
Siberia.
Why?
Siberia, I think.
What would you be doing in Siberia?
Well, it's just Japanese, somewhere between perhaps. England and Japan.
It's not. It's much closer to Japan than it is to... Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I would say somewhere like India, or maybe the United Arab Emirates, possibly.
Just a neutral space between England and Japan.
We are digressing slightly.
Yeah, we are, completely.
Sorry.
Let me move on to the next topic. I've got so many points here, we're never going to get through all of them. This one is... I wonder what you have to say about this. Having two separate taps in the bathroom. So, just to clarify that, in England, we often will have a hot tap and a cold tap. You probably don't, because your bathroom's quite new. But hot tap and a cold tap separately. Whereas in, for example, most countries in Europe, let's say, would have one single mixer tap.
I can't see why it's such a big deal.
Yeah, I know. I don't think it's a big deal.
I've never even noticed the difference.
I'm not sure about this one. I mean, look around you.
Yeah, but just bear with me. The only reason I say that, I don't think that's a big deal. But the number of times I've heard people make comments about how in Britain they don't understand why we have separate taps. I think it's fine. I don't care at all. But... It's time and time and time again. People who come to England often get confused and a bit frustrated by the fact we have two separate taps. I don't think it's a big deal, but it seems to be a big deal for a lot of people.
I think, provided that the taps still have a very clear indication of which is hot and which is cold, i.e. with blue for cold and red for hot, it's actually better, because I have the mixed taps, which means that when you want to change quickly from cold to hot, it can take some time, basically. So, for instance, I want to fill the kettle up to make a cup of tea, but I've just filled the sink up
to do washing up
with hot water. You've got to waste... There's quite a lot of wastage there when you're actually switching from hot to cold, so... Yeah.
I think that's a part of...
But also, it doesn't matter how it comes out the tap. You're supposed to mix it in a bowl. Even if you're washing your face,
you
fill the sink up.
What?
Because it saves water.
Yeah.
I think this is a thing about the UK. We're very conscious of saving water.
Yeah.
But in other countries, they don't. Like in France, for example, they run water down the... the gutters of the streets often in Paris and lots of other places. You find that they just run water through the gutters of the streets. Well, it's to clean the streets, but for us, if they did that in any city here in England, there'd be outcry, like, how can you waste all this water?
Mm.
It just shows that here, for some reason, we want to conserve our water more.
Where I work, we use rainwater to flush the toilets. There's a system that collects rainwater and uses it to flush the toilets.
I don't know if there's some geological reason for why we need to conserve our water more than other countries.
Well, there's a hose pipe ban at the moment.
Yeah, hose pipe ban.
Historically, we need to be quite...
Quite high population in this part.
High population,
well.
Small space.
Yeah.
We need to be quite careful.
Yeah. The two taps in the bathroom thing is something I need to come back to, because...
Who cares? Come on.
Well, we don't care.
I don't care.
All right. Fine. Well... That's often the reaction of people from this country, but if you come from... never mind.
I mean, it doesn't take long to adapt to the fact that there's two taps.
Yeah, it shouldn't. It really shouldn't.
I don't understand why it's so frustrating.
Yeah, I don't understand why it's frustrating but there's obviously something there, because loads of people keep going on about it. From all over the place. Like... from countries in Europe, from Switzerland, from Brazil, from the USA.
Are they just really snobby people?
No, they're not. No, they're really not. It's nothing to do with them being snobbish people. It's just that they don't have mixer taps. They find...
Oh, God, I'm so sick of this subject.
Yeah, let's just move on. I mean, I understand that they have mixer taps.
Sorry, it's obviously a real
where is school uniform? Well, I quite like girls to wear school uniform.
Oh, dear Lord.
Is that what we're talking about here?
Oh, I don't know.
Sorry,
I don't know what you just said.
Sorry, wearing school uniform. So some countries not do that then?
Yeah, of course, a lot of countries, they don't have school uniforms. Yeah.
I'm just going to go and get some water out of my mixer tap. That's all right.
A lot of countries don't have school uniforms, we do. Big deal. Next one.
Well, my mum used to say it so that you didn't have to keep buying kids new clothes so they look smart at school.
No, the reason we have school uniforms is very much so that everyone is on a level playing field.
Yeah.
So,
and there's not competitiveness about what fashionable clothes you
which
have.
Which I think is
I think it's admirable. Yeah. And it also means you only have to buy one outfit, they wear it to school, and that's it. It's probably cheaper than buying, you know, having to keep them in new clothes all the time. Because they're quite hard wearing, aren't they? Like blazers and stuff are quite, well, quite strong.
So,
I mean, it's quite a good thing.
Did you wear a blazer?
Yeah, I had a blazer with a badge on it.
What colour tie?
Black and red.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Quite aggro. We used to wear our thin side round.
Like
the mod tie.
Oh, but did you not go through that phase where you had a fat knot and you used to snip the end off your tie?
Yeah, we used to have the fat knot phase.
And the fat knot and the tie would be this long.
Or tucked into the shirt.
I had a gold and blue striped tie, diagonally striped.
Gold and blue.
A nice badge on my blazer. Yeah. Although I didn't like wearing blazers so much.
I didn't mind the blazers because they had big pockets. You could, like, you know, keep cigarettes, conkers in there.
Did you wear grey socks or white socks?
Grey.
Ooh, very, very posh.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
What else? What else is there? Having milk and tea.
I like milk and tea, but I can understand it's a bit of an aberration of the pureness of the tea. But I like it.
But we only have milk in English tea.
Yeah, we wouldn't put.
If you have green tea.
You wouldn't put milk in green tea. You wouldn't put milk in black tea if it was a foreign.
Yeah,
leaf.
Yeah,
Indian tea or something.
Well, we do put milk in Indian tea because most of our tea is actually Indian tea, isn't it? English breakfast tea, I think, is just a combination of lots of different types of Indian tea.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just black tea with milk in it, really. English breakfast, but it's just the way that
it is. Yeah, but it's still English tea, isn't it? You can buy a kind of English breakfast tea.
Yeah, yeah, but the English drink. Is originally just Indian-grown tea, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think. Or even a mix of Indian and sort of a Kenyan tea or something.
Siberian
tea. But anyway, I guess the point there is just that some people, you know, for some people, putting milk in tea is really
weird. I can see how it's weird, because, you know, milk is like... It's
not in the same family, is it? Somehow?
It comes out of a cow.
Yeah.
Why which makes it slightly odd
it's
anyway.
It's like fatty stuff. Do you
agree?
I think it is a bit weird, and I think it makes the tea less healthy as well. It's much healthier if you drink tea.
That's right. Yeah.
That's true.
We just like it. We're just used to it, and it's kind of quite hearty, isn't it? A cup of tea. It's got a few extra calories.
Yeah.
In it.
If you're feeling a little bit down, a little bit upset about something, have a cup of tea with milk in.
It makes it slightly more comforting, doesn't it, having milk in it? I think also something to do with English food, it's always a lot more fattening or a lot more kind of, it contains a lot more fat or calories than food in a lot of other countries.
Cram in a couple of extra calories, we will do.
Maybe there's some traditional reason for adding calories like that, because it just means, I don't know, something to do with it being colder here or something.
Yeah, fattening yourself up for the winter.
Yeah, it kind of keeps you warm a bit.
Having advertising featuring some nudity on large billboards in public places.
So this is when, for example, you'll be driving your car along the street in England and you might have posters advertising with like half-naked women or guys in underpants.
Yeah,
and
I think it's much more extreme in other countries.
It's more extreme.
You go to Italy and they've got the proper naked women.
Some countries in Europe you actually get, you know, full frontal nudity, but then in some, but in I've seen it in France, nudity and stuff in posters. But in other countries, it's like shocking to have semi-naked people on massive posters.
But isn't that just about how cultures are? You know, the differences in what's considered decent in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah.
It is. We're sort of in the middle, I think.
I think we're sort of slightly left of.
I think
we're quite in the middle, because you do see quite, you know, not graphic, but underwear adverts and stuff.
in other countries.
Oh, here.
Here, yeah. Yeah, you see women sort of in quite sexual poses with virtually no clothes on. We take it for granted.
It's
but
been a while. Sorry.
I didn't get that.
I said it's been a while.
We take it for granted, but I'm sure that some people, when they come to England, they get really shocked when they see that. Like, we get sort of Saudi students who come here.
Oh, yeah, of
that,
course.
That kind of thing is completely outlawed.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is this more about religion?
No, that particular point there could be related to religion. That sort of in Muslim countries where they sort of observe Sharia law, that kind of thing would be outlawed.
Yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah, so it's religion and culture.
Can
it's
you
all
think of
culture.
Any cultures where there isn't a predominantly Muslim population who would consider our sort of level of censorship quite...
liberal.
What about Northern Europe? Something
about China?
Like Sweden or... Sweden? I bet they don't have naked...
Oh, they're willing to... I think
the Swedes are quite comfortable with a bit of nudity.
No, but do you think they have them in adverts, though?
What, you mean like the same way that we do?
Well, no, more than, say, like the French do, like with an actual naked...
I bet they don't.
The French don't have, like tits out all the time.
No, but they do in some cases. Right?
Well, they're slightly more liberal about nudity than we are. But I think Sweden or Norway or Scandinavia, I think they're probably a little bit more comfortable
with tighter advertising controls as well.
Do they? Why?
I just think they do. I'd like to find out. I bet there's the hotter countries are more liberal.
I don't know about that, because Saudi Arabia is pretty hot and they're not very liberal.
In
Europe. So you're talking about southern European countries like Italy, Spain, maybe south of France or something. Great. Don't know if it's to do with the heat in the countries or what.
Well, they're just a bit more, I don't know, a bit more liberal, a bit more racy, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They have game shows with lots of semi-nudity on them and stuff at tea time.
Yeah.
That's true, man.
Although Holland, are extremely liberal with not necessarily posters, but in terms of obviously TV, they are very liberal with what they're happy for people to see. And it's slightly colder there than it is here. So I think you'll find your
conscience
is just being
rubbish.
Dashed against the rocks.
It's very hard to know exactly what it is that defines the way cultures work. It's very interesting though. But we have to try and be open-minded, don't we? That's the main thing.
Yes.
Have you got anything else on the list?
Publicly criticising the government.
Publicly criticising the government?
Yeah.
Oh, well, again, this is about...
You can do that as much as you like here, but it just doesn't make any difference.
Doesn't it? How do you know?
Okay, I guess it does make some difference.
A little bit.
I think it makes a massive amount of difference if you lobby the government. It does.
Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but I guess it does.
It's hard, but I think eventually you can make a difference by lobbying, directly lobbying the government.
The news can as well. The news definitely influences decisions.
And you...
Because they know it will be reported if they do the wrong thing.
Yeah. You're basically allowed to kind of just stand up in certain places and just... sort of say your opinion on the government and openly criticise it. But in some countries, you definitely can't be heard to publicly criticise the government. Like in Iran or something.
Right.
You can get into a lot of trouble. It may be in China, yeah.
Which is weird.
You think it's weird, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wrong, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think it's different. Yeah. I think it's weird.
I disagree with that as well. I think people should be allowed to state their opinions without fear of being banged up in jail or something. Yeah, it's terrible.
Eyes poked out with a stick or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know what would happen.
Like that.
okay.
Girls wearing miniskirts in the middle of winter.
Girls wearing miniskirts in the middle of winter, what do you think?
Northern English thing, isn't it?
Newcastle.
I mean...
They're tough lasses, aren't they? They're tough northern lasses.
That's an interesting one, because that's like weird if you're... Sorry, that's different or weird if you're a northerner or a southerner within this country, within the UK.
Yeah, you think it's a north-south difference?
I think it's weird and not different if the girl wearing the miniskirt in winter is particularly thin. If she's like really fat, then I think it's different.
It's saying that because she's fat, not that cold, the so fat okay. will insulate her against the cold.
Come on.
Yeah, that's not true. If the skin is exposed to the cold, then she's still going to get cold, even if she's a bit fat. It's not that the fat is like blubber on a whale. It's not. It really it doesn't work like that.
You last visited Newcastle, but it's exactly
doesn't
like
work,
that.
It doesn't work like that. The skin gets cold. The skin, you know, you've got the skin, then fat, then the rest of the body. The skin can get cold.
The skin gets cold.
What are we talking about? We're not doctors.
A sea lion's skin gets cold.
No, it doesn't. It's covered in fur, isn't it?
A downy fur.
Yeah.
But if you were to put a miniskirt on a seal, suddenly much worse.
This is the most shambolic kind of disastrous podcast I've ever recorded.
We've ended up with seals and miniskirts.
I don't think putting a miniskirt on a seal would make any difference to how cold or warm. It would be a bit warmer if you put a miniskirt on a seal.
Oh, thanks for the miniskirt, I'm really snug now. Which is exactly...
It would be slightly warmer. But the point is here that if you come to England, if you go to the north, particularly in the north where it's a bit colder, and you go out on a Friday night, you might see, even in the middle of winter, girls lining up to go into nightclubs, and they're not wearing coats, they're just in sort of miniskirts and little tops.
So they have to go to the cloakroom, yeah, and they're tough birds.
Yeah, exactly. The point is that I've heard people say, God, it's really weird that English girls just wear hardly any clothes, even when it's cold. And they then decide that English people are sort of weird or something as a result of this. But the reason is...
Well, we think it's pretty extreme. When it's really cold, you think, bloody hell.
Can I make a point?
How do they do that? But they kind of pride themselves on it. They're tough girls and they don't want to look like a wuss.
It's not just the northern thing. If you go out in Brighton on a Saturday night, it's cold down there, it's by the sea, and that's about as southern as you get. Mm. There's a lot of girls walking around in particularly small garments.
Good, isn't it?
I think I'm a bit old for that kind of thing now. But, you know...
Go for it.
What's next? This is a weird list. Eating scorpions, spiders, toads, frogs.
Well, I think we consider eating scorpions or spiders to be strange in this country. But in China, for example, it's perfectly normal to go down the market and just buy a scorpion on a stick and have a bit of lunch.
I've never eaten any of these things.
No,
I've never eaten frog's legs.
No, neither have I, actually.
I wouldn't
eat
a scorpion.
Well, loads of people do eat scorpions.
Although, if you go to John Lewis here, I don't know if they still stock them. I think it was John Lewis or maybe Selfridges. There's a whole sort of area, like a little shelf. I don't know what the company's called, but you can buy like scorpion lollipops, and it's like a little scorpion or a kind of beetle
inside
or a witch... weevil in a grub stick, I don't know, but yeah, they're quite expensive, and you can buy them there.
Okay,
quite a mainstream.
Well, that's John Lewis. I mean, they're very good. You can get anything.
Well,
you
I mean,
want
it's
there,
novel.
Right?
They're doing it because it is weird and it's novel.
Yeah. At the end of the day, fair play. I mean, the reason we don't eat scorpions is because we don't have scorpions here.
If we did,
then they might have evolved into a food like it has in other countries.
We have foxes and we don't eat foxes.
Yeah, there's loads of things that we have that we don't eat.
Well...
We have loads of earthworms.
And we don't eat them.
Yeah.
But...
Okay.
I think it's just the attitude in China, basically. If it's alive, you can eat it.
Yeah.
It's true, really.
I think that's a good attitude.
And in the end, it's they have more choice, don't they, now? Here we're very sort of squeamish about eating certain things, but if it doesn't kill you and you can eat it, and if you enjoy the taste, fine. What's wrong with eating crickets?
Apparently they're really good.
I've eaten cricket before.
I wouldn't eat them
lots
raw.
Of protein. No, not raw.
You'd
but
have to, like,
cook them. You fry them up. Yeah.
I've eaten crickets or grasshoppers or crickets. They're all right. They're like prawns.
Mm.
The legs tend to get stuck in your teeth a little bit.
Would you eat a witch's grub?
One of those little white grubs.
Fat things.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Squirt when you bite.
I find them disgusting. I don't think I would eat them. No. But again, like Aboriginal,
they're a treat.
For Aborigines in Australia, those all the time. They love them.
It's like a donut or something.
Yeah, going down to Starbucks.
Apparently, they taste of peanut butter.
Do they really?
They don't look like they taste of peanut butter.
They look rank, don't they? Hawking spitting in the street.
Spitting in the street. Well, that's considered to be very rude now in this country,
it
isn't
is
it?
Very rude.
Loads of people do it, though. It's disgusting.
I haven't seen
it. It can be... you can be fined for spitting in the street now in this country.
But I don't think anyone's going to enforce that.
Aren't they? Why not?
I think it's all right to spit in a bin.
Yeah.
If you really have to, I think that's okay.
Better than spitting on the street.
I think it's okay to spit in a bin, but you have to maybe do it in a discreet way.
If I really have to, I might spit.
You
put the bin on your head first and then spit.
You don't do it from the other side of the road.
Get close to the bin and sort of flob into the bin closely.
Flob?
Maybe use a tissue to dab at the side of your mouth after you've finished.
If you had a tissue, you'd spit into the tissue and throw it in the bin.
Yeah, true. You could just spit into the tissue and throw the tissue into the bin. Yeah,
that's better.
But in some countries, spitting in the street is quite normal. Again, I think in China, there's lots of.
Oh yeah,
that's quite normal in China. Women do it, you know.
Is that because in the cities it's particularly quite polluted?
Don't know.
And therefore, there's more reason to do that. I mean,
for some reason that isn't really rude.
My sister lived in Hong Kong for a while. And that was one of the things that she first said about it, that she really, really despised, was all of the
spitting.
The spitting and stuff.
But, you know, for us, that's kind of all right, you know? Like in Japan, apparently they say that blowing your nose in public is really rude. That if you're there and there's people near you and they're blowing their nose, that's, like, really disgusting. But for us, it's kind of better to blow your nose than to sit there with a runny nose. It's like... really normal, like you can imagine an old woman with a handkerchief, she would just blow her nose or something. You know, it's kind of, it's quite clean, we consider it to be clean to empty your nose.
Yeah.
But in Japan, it's better to sit there going...
But you're not getting anywhere by
that. I know, but...
Better than in.
Numerous times for example, would have lessons in Japan and there'd be someone with a runny nose that would just be sniffing all lesson.
Did you tell them to blow their nose?
Well, no, because it's kind of rude for me to...
Did you blow your nose when you were in Japan?
Yeah, and they would let me do it because I'm foreign, but other Japanese people wouldn't really do it because it would be considered to be a little bit rude, and it's like less rude for them to sit there just constantly sniffing, you know.
I've got a confession to make.
What's that?
So I went for a cycle a couple of weeks ago, and you know when you're kind of cycling for quite a while, and you can build up quite a sweat, you can build up quite a lot of spit, don't you?
You mean as you're exercising, you generate phlegm.
Yeah, I didn't want to use that word, but phlegm, yeah.
Yeah.
So
did you spit in the street?
I did. I had to, it was on a high street. It was on Clapham High Street, and I was locking my bike up, and there was no bins or anything. And I did it as discreetly as I could, kind of into the gutter by the curb.
Yeah. Did you stop your bike and kind of lean over?
No, I'd locked my bike up because I was going to do some shopping.
Yeah.
I was like, I can't keep this in, so I had to spit it out. And I kind of looked around to see if anyone was looking. I thought I was in the clear. But this guy saw me, and he looked really disgusted and actually apologised.
Did you really? Oh, well, very nice of you to apologise.
I felt really embarrassed.
Really? Whereas if you, you know, in a spitting culture, you wouldn't have thought about it. You would have just gone...
There was a lot of spit.
Was there?
I was quite surprised.
A phlegm gem?
It was like a jellyfish.
Really? A green jellyfish? Lovely. Okay, what's next on the list?
Oh, that was gross. Saying hello to strangers in the street.
Saying hello to strangers in the street. I think you do that here, but in a small town. If you walk past someone on a Sunday, for example.
Not in a small town.
You wouldn't, because there wouldn't be a stranger.
In the countryside, then.
Maybe if you're on a sort of small little track somewhere and you might say, hello.
All right.
Hello.
Morning.
Hi.
You certainly wouldn't do it in London.
No, not in London, in a big city.
But you would do on a little country roundup, for sure.
Yeah.
You'd have to.
Burping or farting after eating?
Burping or farting after eating. Well, burping, farting, are obviously considered to be very rude here. Unless you're with friends or something. But even then, it's like something you'd do as a joke. You know, burping or farting in company is like, you don't do
I
it.
I think
right?
it depends whether you exaggerate it. So if you go, if you make the burp particularly loud.
If you imagine you're with some friends, like female friends do, if you fart, it's like, you know,
oh,
that would be, you know, the female, the girls would be like, Aaron, it's disgusting.
I wouldn't fart in front of
exactly,
a female friend.
Exactly, because,
in front of a male friend.
Even if you had one brewing, you wouldn't let it go, because...
the fart shalange, as it were.
Yeah, that's right. You wouldn't...
No, I'd leave the room and
cock an egg.
Exactly.
Okay, what about you, James? What's your position on burping and farting in public?
Try not to.
Yeah, but
sometimes it's really hard, though. What are you going to do? Do you have to go to the loo?
What are you going
to do? Is that what you're supposed to do, though? You're supposed to go to the loo and just, like, fart.
You have to do it in the loo.
Well, where are you going to do it, then?
Go out into a ventilated area.
Not always possible, my friend.
But,
and sometimes you try and burp, like... And then this, like, stench of garlic just fills the room. That's really... Oh,
dear, well, at least you've been eating garlic.
Well, yeah. but then again, we're going to go back to China. It's quite normal in China to burp a little bit.
It's not a place I want to visit.
It's fun. Imagine it. You can just... You don't have to worry about burping and farting. What I hate is when I'm in polite company and I've eaten some sort of heavy meal and then I've got, like, a lot of gas brewing and then I have to hold it in and it's just then at the end of the day... I just feel inflated with my own gas. But whereas if I was in China, I wouldn't have to worry about that. It's healthier.
Have you found out of letting it out in increments yet?
No, I can't let it out in increments. It's either out or it's in. And if I try and control it, then that could be disastrous. Do you know what I mean? I quite like it if in England we were like the Chinese and we could just burp.
I wouldn't.
If you had gas, you just let the gas out.
It would smell of burps and fart. What you're missing is the fact that it leaves a smell. Probably farting more than burping. Well, of course, farting more than burping. There's nothing worse than the smell of someone else's fart.
There are worse things than the smell of someone else's fart. Like murder, that's worse than the smell of someone else's farts. But it's definitely bad. Yeah. Okay, all right. Maybe it's better that we do keep
I'm
it all.
I'm really glad that we are discreet about those things.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think it's weird and not different when other cultures...
Fart and burp, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Apparently, if you do both at the same time, you can actually kill yourself.
If you fart and burp at the same time, you can die.
You can die.
Is that a scientific fact?
Yeah. It creates some kind of weird vacuum inside you.
And then what happens?
You implode.
Okay.
Yeah, you actually implode in on yourself.
I don't think that's...
It doesn't happen very often. It's really hard to do.
I've never farted and burped simultaneously.
Exactly.
I don't want to... It's like if you sneeze with your eyes open, then your eyes will fly
that's
out
right,
of your head.
But it's impossible to do that.
To sneeze with your eyes open. I'm not going to try. I'd like to keep my eyes in my head.
And I don't want anyone dying in my flat on Easter Bank.
And I don't feel like sneezing anyway, so we're okay.
Next one.
Okay, a packet of cheese and onion, please.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, sorry, that's from a different piece of material. Go on with the list.
Shall I just pick a good one?
Yeah, just pick something.
Smacking children.
Smacking kids.
Oh. Yeah, I think that's underrated.
Careful, that's sarcasm. You see,
it's there. Bad sarcasm.
What about, are you allowed to smack anyone's kids in some countries?
I think
there should definitely be more of that. Like some kid on the tube, really annoying. Just smack, put a sharp crack around the ear with an open palm.
You're saying that you want to go to a country where it's acceptable for you to smack other parents' children?
Yeah. Well, only when they deserve it.
I don't think that's acceptable anywhere. I think you'll find that most...
I bet there's somewhere it's okay.
What, for a stranger, if they're irritated by a child, to just go and hit the kid?
Somewhere in, you know, the Amazon where it's like to smack another person.
Another man's child.
Yeah.
I don't
know. And he goes, fair enough, mate, he was being quite annoying.
Okay. I think, just to be a little bit normal and serious, anyway... In England, it used to be more acceptable to smack
it
the
did.
Kids.
Yeah, it used to be.
You
used to get the cane at school.
Yeah,
not in our time, but slightly prior.
Yeah, they'd be hit with a long, thin piece of wood.
Cane across the back of the legs.
Yeah, or the bum, or the hands, or something.
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, it's no longer acceptable to do that.
You can't. Yeah, you can't be seen to touch kids. You can't touch your own kids. You can't even stroke their hair. When a kid is born, that's the last time that a parent can touch the child. From then on, they're
wearing chainmail gauntlets.
I don't know if we're getting anywhere with this episode. I feel maybe it's just me.
I think it's really good.
Yes. Yeah? Okay. Good. Good.
I'll
pick another one. Killing animals yourself before you eat them.
Killing an animal with your own hands before you eat it.
Well, it's better than eating them live, isn't it?
Well, in some countries, you do eat an animal when it's still alive.
You do?
Fish, for example, in Japan. It's some dishes, the fish is still kind of alive there and you just eat it. Or certainly the fish is very recently alive. So
is there a country where you take the beating heart of a snake and eat it while it's still pumping?
The actual still living heart of a snake. I'm going to say China. I think it might be China again. Because I know that they do like to have snake's blood.
Yeah.
Because it's meant to be very healthy.
Yeah.
Meant to be very good for your...
Not for the snake.
That's
it's extremely unfortunate for the snake.
Yeah, yeah. But in England, certainly, I think we're used to just eating manufactured meat. Or like,
I don't, because I don't eat meat.
You're vegetarian,
I do eat manufactured vegetables.
Yeah,
but can you get manufactured vegetables?
Well, I'm sure you can. Yeah, they've been processed in some way.
Yeah,
but what I mean is that
have you seen those fractal broccoli?
Yeah, there we go.
They're not fractal. It's not called fractal.
It's
broccoli.
It's basically a fractal broccoli, isn't it?
They are pretty cool.
They're amazing. Yeah. I don't know how they've
like
been...
I think it's
genetically modified.
Don't worry, listeners, I don't know what fractal broccoli is either.
If you can genetically modify broccoli, why don't they genetically modify peas so that they're square and don't grow much?
Peas that would stick to
square peas.
Or they should genetically modify peas so that...
They should modify peas
so that they're already attached to the fork.
Well, they jump on your fork. They climb out of the bowl and jump on your fork.
Intelligent peas. They'll just jump into your mouth.
Or you just work their way down
into your stomach. You don't even need to swallow them.
One giant pea the size of a small football.
And you just have it of a Sunday roast. You just carve it in half,
carve slices of some gravy. Of this big pea.
That would be good.
Okay.
Yeah. Pea and gravy.
We're talking about genetically modified food. But here, obviously, in the UK and most Western countries, we're used to eating a bit of bacon or something that's from a pig that was killed in a factory like miles away somewhere.
Yeah,
it's bacon.
And the idea of actually killing the animal before you eat it is horrific to some people.
I think in a way it would be quite good if you did, because we'd have a much healthier society and you'd be a bit more responsible for what you did.
Yeah.
You know,
but,
and if you had to, I mean, if I had to kill animal before I ate it, it'd probably stop me eating a lot of meat.
But what about
probably eat a bit of the odd chicken for a treat.
What about the practical side of it? Where would you keep all these animals that you have to kill?
Well, there's the thing. You wouldn't need
you
to
wouldn't
keep that many
to.
Animals. You'd one pig could last a person a long time.
But you'd still need to.
You'd still need to keep it.
It'd be a massive change in society. It's not something you could just introduce. But
you couldn't have
it would
everyone
be
in this country killing the animal before they eat it.
Better.
Where would they keep the animals?
Keep a pig here. I wouldn't feel happy with a pig living on the balcony. It can't be.
Brilliant.
All right.
Sure, you can get a cow
out your potato peelings out.
What I'm saying is that it's just not practically possible.
No, it's not.
To do it any other way. It has to be this industrialised thing now, doesn't it? Because if people want to eat meat, then how are they going to?
How much of that meat gets wasted?
I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that the reason
that
it's all industrialised is just because
supply and demand.
Supply and demand. Yeah, but I'm not saying it's right to kill animals in those
ways.
There's
a greater demand for free range meat now than there ever was. A few years ago. So actually, we do have the space to a certain extent.
Standards are getting better.
Capacity to breed animals in a relatively pleasant environment. Yeah.
But those animals are still killed and turned into food somewhere along the line. And then when you actually get your hands on it, it's just a piece of meat on a plate. you know.
So here's a question. If you go into a restaurant, like a seafood restaurant, and you can do it here now, and you pick which lobster you're going to have from the tank, would you do that?
I would. I would pick the lobster, yeah. And in fact, for some reason, the act of picking a lobster before you eat it is seen as being a mark of a quality restaurant, isn't it?
It is.
So, some reason here, if you get to choose your lobster first, that means you're getting a really good service.
Do you think you would
good service?
Have you never done that, though, have you?
Would
you
I don't eat lobster very much.
It's really expensive.
It is expensive.
Yeah, but I'm saying that the act of choosing your lobster first from a tank of living lobsters is somehow a mark of it being a quality restaurant.
More of a kind of sort of connection to that lobster. In some kind of...
I wonder if you could make friends with it first and sort of have a little weekend away.
Would you feel a connection to it or empathy for that lobster? Would you say a little prayer for it as it was being...
I don't know. Well, when I lived in Japan, I did have a situation like this where I went to a sushi restaurant with a friend, a Japanese friend, and we were sat at the counter... And in the glass cabinet at the counter, there were, you know, like the big lumps of meat that the sushi chef was using. And then there was a tray full of clams, you know, these shells.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the clams were still alive. So these are these large shells with like a, you know, they've got like whatever it is on the inside. But these things were still alive.
Yeah.
And one of them was quite active. It was moving around this tray.
Oh, yeah.
My friend said, do you want a clam? And I said, yeah, let's have that one. Because it looked like the one that was moving around. I was like, I've just been watching that for the last half an hour, moving around.
I'm going to eat it.
And I said, look, if I'm going to have a clam, they're all alive, why not have that one? Because I felt like I got to know it. I thought that might be quite a nice clam. And they're all going to get eaten anyway.
But surely the one that was moving around was the most active one, was probably the one that was having the best time.
I don't know. I don't know if they're enjoying themselves more.
To get out of the tank.
Yeah, and I don't know why I chose that one, other than that one just sort of presented itself to me by...
Did it?
Well, by being... I mean, I just noticed it more, so I thought, well, I've kind of got to know that one. Let's have that one, if I've got to have one of them.
And how did you feel when you were eating the clam?
It felt strange. It felt weird to me.
Because you'd just seen it alive.
I'd seen this clam that I'd just seen alive moving around inside the tray, and then suddenly, within 5 minutes, like the chef took it out, opened it up, chopped it up, put it on some rice, and gave it to us. And then within 5 minutes or so, we were eating that clam that we'd just seen moving around. And that was meant to be a better restaurant experience because it was very recently alive.
Well, yeah, of course it's fresher.
Yeah, so it's fresher.
Fair enough.
Yeah. You know, when you go to an aquarium in England and you look at fish swimming around in the aquarium, you look at them, you go, wow, don't they look beautiful?
Yeah.
I've been to aquariums in Japan with Japanese people, and they've looked at the fish swimming around inside the tanks, and they've gone, wow, that looks delicious.
Really?
Yeah.
Oishi-saw.
Which means that looks delicious. So I remember another time going to Kyoto, and in Kyoto they have like these rivers and ponds with these beautiful big golden carp in the ponds. I don't know if it was a joke or not, but I remember listening to a group of Japanese businessmen. We were all standing on a bridge. I was looking at the carp thinking, they're beautiful carp. Mm. And these businessmen were going, oh, oishiso, meaning, wow, that one looks delicious.
I think they're aware of the joke there, because they know that they're there for decorative purposes.
Yeah,
and you're supposed to be going, oh, aren't they lovely? And they're being slightly... blokey and manly and going, hey, that one looks tasty, isn't it?
But not completely aware, because I went with I went with a female friend as well who did it, and I don't believe she was making a joke.
No, but half joking. Like, she means it, but she's aware that what she's saying is a bit funny in that context.
Well, are we saying that Japanese are weird for doing that?
No, I'm not saying they're weird. No.
I would argue that we're weird for not thinking about
it. I think there's a logical reason for them... you know, believing that, like, when a fish is very recently dead, it's going to taste better because it's fresher.
Yeah.
I completely understand that, so I'm not saying that the Japanese are weird. I'm just saying that my experience then was like a kind of, huh, moment.
Right.
You know, I just think that's quite interesting, those kind of, huh, moments.
Mm.
Yeah.
yeah.
How long are we going to keep going on?
This is...
It's already an hour.
Should we draw our conclusions? So much more to talk about.
So many other examples of these things. I'll have to come back to this subject. But what? Yeah, I mean, that was a slightly chaotic episode, which is fine.
I hope
that all the listeners out there can follow what we're talking about and they can identify which things were sort of ridiculous, sarcastic jokes and which things were more sincere, serious things. I couldn't either.
I didn't know us, I wouldn't know which ones were jokes and which ones were serious.
I suppose that's the challenge. If you're listening to this, try and work out which things were jokes and which things were sort of sincere.
Not jokes exactly, but...
Ironic or sarcastic.
I think the best thing to do is to assume that everything we've just said was slightly ironic.
Yeah.
And work from there.
That's another, is it weird or is it just different thing? A lot of people, we think it's normal to be as sarcastic and ironic as we are.
And dry.
Like we say things straight, we're joking. A lot of people, like for example Americans, when they come to England, they don't know whether English people are being sincere or if they're making fun of everything.
Sometimes you can be both.
We think it's sometimes normal, but not many other people
we
do
think
it.
It's normal, as in us three, because we've known each other for a long time.
Yeah.
We've done it for a long time.
Yeah.
It is something you build up with.
If I spend my entire day at work, for instance, being ironic, then people don't really get it.
It requires friendship
and trust.
It's almost like you're testing each other's friendship in a way, because you're sort of pushing the boundaries a little bit of like taking the piss out of them, kind of winding them up, but also in a kind of bonding way.
It's almost like a competition.
I think everyone does that, though.
It's quite competitive, isn't it? Who can be the most ironic?
Yeah, who can be the most ironic, yeah.
And who can say the most out of order thing with a straight face?
They say that people say that in Britain we have like this sort of ironic sense of humour because there's a kind of we exist in this like slightly ambiguous culture where we're a little bit more reserved and not so direct, and so that it's quite a kind of breeding ground for humour because. You know, we like to be sarcastic and ironic.
And say anything but the thing that you really mean sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah, you will say the exact opposite of what you mean in a very straight, very dry kind of way. And a lot of people don't realise, they don't pick up on that. They don't realise that we're doing it.
And I don't know why we do it. It's just awkward, isn't it?
It's kind of a way of avoiding making a very direct statement, I think. But who knows, really? Who knows?
Who does know?
Yeah.
I think we do it because it makes us laugh, personally.
Yeah, it's just fun. Yeah.
Just funny.
Yes, it's just funny.
Especially when you know the person well enough to know when they're joking, even though they say it completely straight.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, one example of this might be if you go, if you're watching a movie, like, if we're together watching a movie and the movie's really terrible, we might start saying, oh, this is brilliant. I love this film. I love the way the script is so bad. You know, and we don't. In a way, we are criticising a film, but we're kind of
enjoying criticism.
Talking about how great the film is, but actually we mean that the film is terrible. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like many different levels. So anyway,
you start saying that was an inspired piece of dialogue.
Yeah, what brilliant acting that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, when actually it was terrible. Or if someone says to you, any idea what the weather will be like today? And you go, oh no, it's going to be a wonderful day by all accounts, you know, just like normal. And what they mean is, it's going to rain.
Yeah.
It must be quite annoying to have to deal with sarcastic English people.
Yeah.
When
you're
not used to it.
Like, we actually think we're really good at it, like experts at irony.
Yeah, but no one else gets it.
Annoying.
So nobody else.
We just must look like a bunch
nobody
of
else understands it. Apparently, like business people who do business with English people often will say they don't really know sometimes what the person is really saying, whether they're making a direct statement or not. There's a bit of ambiguity, something like that. Anyway, any conclusions just at the end of this? Have you learnt anything?
Yeah.
What have you learned?
I wouldn't eat a Wichita grub.
No? A Wichita grub.
By the way, a Wichita grub
is like a white kind of worm thing that becomes like a moth or something.
Yeah, I don't know what it turns into. It must turn into some kind of bird. It's massive.
No, not a bird. It would become a bird.
It turns into a swan.
It's like a big white caterpillar. Like a big white caterpillar that live in the ground.
With like some weird kind of
helmety face,
like a black helmety face with a big white
segmented.
Body. So you've learned that you still wouldn't eat
a witch's I might eat a cricket on a stick.
Okay.
A bloated fat man's. No, I'm
not. Have you learned anything from this? About, you know, the way some other cultures do things. You haven't, have you? In fact, you've forgotten things that you used to know at the beginning of this.
I've learned that smacking other people's children is wrong. Apparently.
That was an example of this ironical song. You didn't really mean that.
I found out that it's wrong.
No, you already knew it was wrong. Goodness me. If you've actually understood any of this, then well done. Congratulations. You're doing really, really well with your English. I think this may be one of the most complicated things to listen to.
I don't even understand
anything that I'm saying now. So if you're following this, then congratulations. You're doing really well.
When's the Ted gonna turn up?
When's Ted
That's
gonna
it,
arrive?
The North going.
that's Ted arriving, is it?
Now go and watch Akira.
Okay.
The subtitle version, not the English language version, but the Japanese one with subtitles.
I'm gonna have to try and listen back to this and then add like YouTube links to some of the things we've talked about, like Akira and Ted and
Super Ted,
Super Ted.
Don't you remember Super Ted?
The cartoon.
Oh, I remember Super Ted. Yeah. But I don't remember talking.
He mentioned
about
Super Ted when I introduced the conference TED Ted. He was then like, "What, Super Ted? What's going to happen? Is Super Ted going to arrive? This is going to be funny, isn't it? Or is it like a big robot version of Super Ted with like flames coming out of his ears or something?" Hilarious.
Was that a sarcastic mockery?
It was like three times sarcasm, because I was both serious and ridiculous all at the same time.
That's complicated.
And on that,
I'm really hungry.
On that complicated note, let's stop recording this.
Can you say goodbye at any point?
Yeah, you can say goodbye. But I'm going to say goodbye now, and you can say goodbye with me if you want.
What, simultaneously?
Yeah, so
at the same time. Like.
That's it. Thank you very much for listening. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to this episode of Luke's English Podcast. Don't forget to visit teacherluke.podomatic.com for more information.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.